Town of Moreau, Zoning Board of Appeals meeting, Wednesday, April 24th, 2024, 7 p.m.
Order. Welcome our new building administrator. And we do have just one, there's no minutes, I think.
They will be here forthwith.
Okay. Just a quick housekeeping business. Our December meeting is scheduled for Christmas Day, so I think it would be a good idea to change it to the 18th.
Sure.
They're all in favor, so. Okay. The first order of business is appeal number 863. For a special use, for an application for special use, the applicant is seeking to establish up to 10 recreational vehicle, camping, cabin sites, and a 43-plus or minus acre parcel at 195 Mott Road in the town of Moreau. The sites are planned to be built over two phases, spanning a three-year period from 2024 through 2026. The cabins will consist of portable structures of varying themes and will be positioned at varying locations across the parcel. The intention is to provide unique, secluded camping experience for the users of the campground. The campsites will be supported by an on-site access drive, portable well, and septic system. Such campground facilities represent a land use that is subject to issuance of a permit for special use from the town zoning board of appeals. Okay. I take it you're the principal.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to have a public hearing today. I have a feeling that we'll continue it, but we'll see. But anybody that speaks, I ask you to please state your name and where you live, okay? So if you would start with that.
Yes, sir. So to piggyback off of how you prefaced that, my name is Mike Music. I live at 195 Mott Road. That is my residence. I've been there now for about 8 years or so. I teach over here at South Bend Falls School District, so I have some roots around, even in the short time that I've been here compared to some of these nice folks behind me. So coming into this proposal, I come in with a level of respect for my neighbors, and every care that and part of this plan has kind of been kind of the forefront of what my plan is to do with that property, yet give me something that may essentially lead to a retirement for me, something that I've always wanted to do and I've kind of really would pride myself into seeing myself end my days there managing this place. So this is obviously a long-term project. This is not a quick, let's get it done, let's start, clearing lots and cranking things out like you normally see. This, to me, is a preserve the natural surroundings, like you had said, and to be as obviously as respectful to my neighbors as possible with completing my goal. I would like to have this series of tiny homes. I know we call them, I don't know what words we're using to call these structures. I call them tiny homes or cabins. They're going to be movable, removable, either on wheels or built on skids by myself. And obviously, to code. I've had Matt Drymiller visit the site. I've had Pete Corley visit the site from the fire department. I've gotten essentially their initial blessings on the idea, and which has gotten me pretty excited, too. I've contacted the power company. I've contacted DAC. I've contacted recently, Department of Health. I know you folks were kind of looking to see that contact with Department of Health, which I have done. I have not heard anything back yet. That was about a week ago, last Friday. There's a lot to this, but I guess I would first ask, is there anything that the board would like clarified based on what they've seen so far?
Well, we have a very thorough presentation that you gave us in writing, but I don't think the folks here do.
Okay.
So could you just describe what you're doing?
Yep. So the existing driveway that comes in It's broken up into lengths to a turnaround. So my first length coming in off Mott Road is about 480 feet to the first turnaround. I have another 100 feet to another turnaround where you're going to have we're going to call it a laundry retail building, where you're going to have a small 12 or 14, and I forget actually the exact dimensions I put in there, 12 to 20 foot split building. Half of it will be dedicated to the three washer dryer units to be able to take care of linens from the homes, to be able to turn them around so I don't have to use my own residence for that. That'd be kind of overkill for my system. I'm also going to have a pedestal there for power and for water. That is going to be the other half of the building. Actually, the power's going to be outdoor, plumbing's going to be inside. So you're going to have a building that's split. Part of that building may also have a bit of retail in there. Say folks need things like s'more sticks or s'mores, things that people typically use that are prepackaged. I'm not going to be making anything on site. I'm not going to be serving food at this point. None of that.
Essentially, what you're making is a campground.
It's called
a campground.
It's called a campground, which has actually freaked probably a lot of these folks out behind me. I didn't like it called a campground, but that's what we have to stick with for the purposes of the town. I like to kind of refer to it as a tiny home village, just a small tiny home village where people are kind of coming in. They have their very own space. It is all separated by natural surroundings. The natural, the footprint of where are these, essentially the ground disturbance for each of these units is going to be extremely minimal. Say for a 12 to 14 foot by 30, 25 to 30 foot tiny home, I may have a ground disturbance of 30 by 50. And when I do that, I actually have some papers here to give you guys. We're going to put them so you guys can have a visual on this. Oh, here we go. I did a secondary map to present to you because I should have done this initially, where I have laid out, sure, you're welcome, existing driveway in sections. And then also my ground disturbance totals.
Thanks. You're welcome, sir.
And that includes the septic field. Overall, per acre, if I were to disturb 1 acre, that would be 43,560 square feet. I am projecting to disturb approximately less than 9,000 square feet in this project total. The existing driveway and the new driveway going in are going directly on existing trail systems that were old logging roads. When I bought them.
These are live roads?
Yes. So there are photos in my...
Yeah, the pictures are pretty clear.
Yeah, you can clearly see that those have always been there. I've been on them the whole time I've been on the property. My kids ride their dirt bikes and snowmobiles and things like that over there as well. Those are not disturbed areas. Those are just going to be resurfaced. They're going to be surfaced in a way that we can get emergency vehicles in and out. There are turnarounds throughout. There is no turnaround that has a span of driveway that is over 500 feet. Everything is under 500 feet per turnaround. So on this, you can see in green, those are the proposed site areas along with the disturbed area. What else is going on? Yeah, and so the driveway, I have my driveway broken up by color there, if you can see that. So hopefully that helps to give you a visual of what this, of the disturbances. I don't want I want tenants that are coming in with small amounts of people. I'm picturing single family, two adults, maybe a couple children, if they have two or three children, per unit.
Are you projecting seasonal rentals or weekly or?
So I'm looking at a three-season, I'm sorry, I didn't
get it. Or just kind of play it by ear, see how it goes, see
So I would like to get the first unit online first before I continue on, and I want to see how that unit is treated. I want to see what people are doing predominantly when they go in there. I would like to see what their traffic patterns are. Like, are cars coming in all night long? Are they just coming, you know, what are the behaviors of people? And I do have a special privilege. I have my brother, Chris Music, who I mentioned that name. I'd probably give you guys some PTSD with that. I have a special privilege of having his plans to refer to, and actually his experiences too with his tenants, to say, okay, these are some things that I need to consider and things I need to safeguard against when I get these units online. So I'm picturing a 3-season to start. I do not want to be clearing snow on these. I have a full-time job, and I have many other jobs on top of that. I don't want to be clearing snow initially, so it will be drained in the winter. With that in consideration, my neighbors immediately to the east, to the south, I was considering that in the placement of these units, saying, you know, will these be seen? Will they be heard? I took basic distances using maps, GPS, and I had to track all this with GPS. And what distances am I from my neighbors? At a very high decibel, say, of a man yelling, dog barking, what are those decibel levels? And by the time it gets to my neighbor's house, what will that sound like? Well, it would be a decibel level. And my calculations to that would be essentially a whisper from one person to another in a quiet library. It's essentially what it would translate to with a loud barking dog, which at this point, I am very much considering not allowing pets there. So,
you had a thorough analysis in the presentation. So.
Well, thank you. I tried, like I said, I had a great example back there with my brother, so I did have a lot of help. I wouldn't be normally thinking of all this stuff if I was just a lone soldier going after this the first time. So, and Jim, Josh have been an incredible help and help with this and saying, hey, here's what you need to consider. And so it's been an incredible help for me. If within the first year I'm able to complete that first unit, which I've kind of laid out the timeline there in the very beginning of the plan or the proposal, you can see how that first, I may be starting it a little too soon. As you can see by the dates and times in there, I'd like to be able to start in June. I'm optimistic with that. But if I finish that, my first unit by the end of the year, and I'm able to get that online first thing in the spring, to me that would be a win. And then go from there and see. And so you can see that, you know, a 3-year plan, I've laid out 3 years, but that's for the first 3 cabins. So if you look down just below that, those timelines, you'll see that those timelines, I would actually just use, I'm stating that there's a continuation of those timelines. So there might be 2 more timelines there. I just didn't want to go too deep into it, especially if that first timeline was offset by several months. Then I'd just be more inaccurate this time around with my timelines. So I wanted to try to keep it at a 3-year visual there. Do I have any more questions, concerns?
You're planning on limiting it strictly to 10 units, correct?
That was my end game. I in fact wanted to kind of originally come in for approval for the full 10 with the idea that it was going to take me a very long time to complete the first 5. Getting the first 5 online for me within 5 years is going to be a huge undertaking, both financially and physically. I know I can do it, but by the time those 5 units are online, I'm going to most likely be nearing retirement age from my job. Like I said, my end goal here is if I were to have the ability to either have approval now or later, we could come back after that those first 5 Once they get online and I see that they're running smoothly and I'm able to manage them, then move on to the other five and come back to you folks and say, hey, this is how things are going. I think it's good safe to say we can move on, or this is where I want to stop. This is five is where I want it to go, because it's just becoming too much. So I do have some weighing on my personal side as to how far this goes, but I think five units will definitely be a profitable situation for me. I think it'll be a way to bring in folks from out of town. My brother's units brings in really nice folks from out of town, and they buy up our goods and services, local businesses. They support us, and we are local business owners also outside of all these proposals, and we want to see, obviously, more support for local businesses as well. And we feel like we can bring those people in.
Well, so just to clarify, you're not going to have motorhomes coming in.
No.
Or any kind of trailer or anything.
No.
It's strictly to rent these houses.
Yes.
And if the kids want a tent in the yard, that's fine.
Yes. If they want to experience that outdoor feel, pop up a tent next to the structure.
But there are no tent sites.
I have not proposed any specific tent sites.
Okay.
Because I want to make that a satellite experience of their stay.
Yeah.
So, because a lot of times you have parents that want those commodities,
sure.
But you have a kid that wants to experience the tent. And I would like to supply those items for them if that's an option. So,
Do you expect, based on, I don't know what Chris has, but I almost get the sense that these would be more appealing to people who, like the retirees who've left the area but want to come back for the summer or something.
Absolutely.
And that this would be more almost like a seasonal rental year after year, conceivably for the same people.
It very well could become that. What I'm hoping to do is each cabin, as you see in my proposal, it's very hard to dictate exactly what the footprint will look like for each of those homes, because I really want to do a very custom theme for each one. So let's say, for instance, the very first unit would be a complete Adirondack theme. So everything you're going to experience there would be based around Adirondacks. The second home may be a completely modern experience. We have the exact opposite. Are people coming in and seeing all these modern buttons and controls, but it's a tiny home, and they're just experiencing like, wow, this is like modern living, but I'm in the middle of the woods.
Like ultra contemporary.
Yes, and another one. There might be another site that where I have we'll call it just a normal tiny home, and then that outdoor site option where I have an elevated platform with possibly purchased a condensed dome where they sleep inside of a dome like they're sleeping out in nature. So, you know, just different experiences for each one. So perhaps somebody might come in on the first experience and stay in the Adirondack cabin, but then walk down the road and see, wait, this is completely different. Oh, wait, that's completely, I want to try all those. So there's where I'm going to potentially bring in my repeat customers to want to just experience different things. So, which would be great because they know our rules, they know our policies. Return folks are always awesome. So,
may I ask?
Yes, sir.
On your smaller map, where is your residence compared to this? Are you in the front left corner, or are you along the right hand side?
Yes, I am. I'm in the front front left corner on the bottom of the page with the large driveway.
91.1, 29.2.
Yes.
That's
yep.
Your okay. So yep. This goes up along the east of you and everything to the north of your property.
Okay. Yes, so this is the east side. Yeah, so I'm basically a horseshoe property that wraps around Williams, right? So I'm a horseshoe property that wraps around these folks. My residence is on the west side. All of this takes place on the east side.
This is you here?
Nope, that's the Burn residence.
Okay.
So I'm further to the left. Right there.
That's you.
Yes.
And you, sir, are right here.
Yes,
right in the middle. Yep. Sorry, thank you for that.
Yep.
You and your brother, how are you, sir?
Good.
have the same kind of footprint in terms of what you're looking to do. But I remember talking with you a few years back. How's it going for you, by the way? Is it going well? Pretty good?
It is going well. COVID kind of slowed me down as far as developing things out, but I do have the 2 units online, and hopefully this year I'll get some traction on the next 3.
Just for the record, tell us who you are.
my name is Chris Music. I'm Mike's brother, and they call me the pioneer of this whole idea. Kind of paved the way. I gave the town a hard time, and my neighbors. But I've been doing it probably for 5 years now, and I haven't had a single complaint. It's been pretty smooth. I use Airbnb exclusively, which gives me a lot of levers, a lot of control on how long, when people can check in, when they can check out. There's a lot of levers we can pull for control that way.
Yeah.
Like the time they can check in, so people aren't coming in at all hours of the night, that sort of thing. Airbnb offers a lot of those features that allow more control. And honestly, I get a lot of families too, because I've limited my occupants to 5 per unit, and that has it kind of pigeonholes you to just families. We do get the occasional crowd of young people that just want to come. It's normally for a SPAC concert or something like that.
Sure.
People come for all different kinds of reasons to this area. But sometimes you get people that never leave. Like they'll come, they'll park on a Friday, and you won't see them. They won't leave until they check out on Sunday. Other people, they'll come and they got stuff planned, so they're gone all day. I offer a farm experience, so sometimes I do get the families that, you know, their kids are running around my property, playing with the goats and, you know, checking out the animals and things like that. Which I certainly encourage, and I enjoy that on my property. And, like I said, my neighbors have, like, I had quite a fight with my neighbors during my public hearings. And, again, I haven't had a single complaint from them, and I actually have really good relationships and friendships with all my neighbors now, too. So it's, you know, I can understand the concerns, because I've heard them all. People were afraid that I was putting in an RV park and there's going to be campers and things coming and going and loud concerts. And I got ran through pretty hard from just the fear from the speculation of what I was going to do there. And so I think, I welcome anybody to come and see what I've got going on, because I know it's pretty similar to what Mike is proposing.
I know you had quite the proposal back in 2019 with the workshop, and
we have a few meetings.
Yes, about the whole farm experience.
Yes.
Do you plan on piggybacking any of that type of environment to you in terms of what you will offer besides the camping?
So with Airbnb, it's like Chris said, it's nice where you can advertise certain things, and as the owner of the Airbnb, what you advertise should always be exactly what you're getting. If you don't, your ratings drop. You're not going to get more customers. So the ways that you have to behave as a host have to be extremely honest. So if I were to say something like, okay, I have I'm advertising these tiny homes. If you come and stay with us, there might be a deal that I offer that I've worked out with my brother and say, hey, plus you can go over and get a farm experience just down the road 3 miles, and we can actually kind of almost share customers back and forth. That was kind of been tossed around a little bit. I still have to check with him on that, but it would be, the other thing with Airbnb is the actual tenants coming in, all right? And I think everyone needs to understand that. And if you ever Airbnb'd anywhere, you get rated. You know, you get a rating for your behavior. You get a rating for how you care for things. So going with Airbnb, VRBO, things like that, where we are rating these people. They're so much more respectful. They come and they go. They're peaceful. They're clean. They're quiet because they know that if they're not, that's going to catch up with them eventually. Versus a seasonal, a full seasonal rental where they're kind of like making that their home for the summer. So I have to weigh, once we get these first one or two units online, I really have to weigh what people are going to do in my situation versus my brother's situation where he has the farm experience. He has a lot of stuff going on and there's, you know, there's machinery noise and there's, and so that's the feel. My current feel is going to be that quiet experience. Like you say, those retirees that are looking for that super quiet.
That was just the sense I got in looking at your pictures and the whole package.
Right.
In
it was pretty accurate to think that. Very accurate to think that. Because that's
kind of right now, there's no plans to provide any kind of entertainment or
no
on site.
No.
You just looking at it's a nice area. There's a lot of stuff to do.
Very simple. These people are coming in and they're small, tiny electric cars or big pickup trucks, and they want to come in. They have their own parking spaces. They're not going to interfere with each other. There's going to be a natural barrier between those sites themselves.
The overall nature of the project, too, in a way, for lack of a better way of putting it, it's almost like it'll self-select the clientele because it looks like you're trying to focus on a quality construction, and I mean you're not going to get a bunch of kids. It's going to be priced accordingly, presumably.
Yes.
So I don't have any major reservations that it's going to be, you know, like a spring break.
No,
so
this is not that. No, we're not going to bring in a group of college kids to come in and start raising holy hell in there.
Plus you live there, right?
Plus I live there. And my kids use those trails. And so my kids are going to be there. And I hope that says a lot about what my vision is that my own children play in that big backyard. And hopefully they'll end up working for me someday, running. It's really my vision. I want to take that family, that generational situation where I can then pass that down to my kids. Say okay, you know.
Would you be, because of the trail system that you're referring to, would you allow a family to bring their ATV with them to ride the trails?
I would not. I wouldn't at this point. I had kind of tossed around the fact that we are very close to the snowmobile trails, but as of right now, I don't want to open them up in the winter. I don't. I think that would be a whole different part. Maybe of an amendment to this proposal way in the future where if somebody wanted to stay in there with a snowmobile, I ride my own snowmobiles through there. So, and I haven't had any complaints from that. But if, say, I had, you know, a camper in there that wanted to bring a snowmobile with a trailer, a couple snowmobiles, and they wanted to ride up to the snowmobile trails, hop on those and be gone all day,
sure.
Maybe that's a possibility. But if we ever get any snow around here, that'd be wonderful. So, you know, like Russ, we were getting snow around here.
I might have overlooked, just looking through your packets, very thorough, like Justin was referring to. You have quiet hours?
Quiet hours, yes. I think 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. From 10 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Okay.
Would be the quiet hours. I think that's pretty typical for a campground.
Yeah.
Even though we're not a traditional RV park,
sure,
like campground. I keep hating to say that word, but
our campground by our standards.
It is, and I'm saying that for you. So.
I think it was 11 p.m. on Saturdays or something.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Sure.
Would you have a problem with it if we were to approve this to condition that there's no ATVs or snowmobiles and brought in?
Not a problem.
Okay.
Nope, absolutely.
Can that be amended down the road if he was to reassess that?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I mean, anything can be amended. But as a condition for the initial approval,
sure.
Be more.
I would agree with that. People. Absolutely.
Now, I think we have a fair amount of work to do on this, but I have a seeker form, the short environmental assessment form, but I don't have one filled out by the applicant.
The part one?
Yeah, no, I don't.
Okay.
You have one?
Thank you.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not sure if we want to do seeker now anyways.
Yeah, but keeping the public hearing.
I'll just get that later. Because I don't really want to do seeker right now because we may have other agencies involved.
Agreed.
And without that, so we'll hold off on that.
I did just put in a new driveway permit as well. My original thought when Chris Abrams came out for my original driveway permit at one time was to do a single-family residence in there. That idea had passed due to an issue I had with one of my surveyors. So time had gone by. I was able to think, and I was able to kind of re-ponder this whole situation instead of just jumping on the first idea that came to my head. And so Chris contacted me because he had found out about the proposal. Chris contacted me, went down, did another site visit, noticed some issues with my pipe. My pipe had gotten hit by a plow, I think, this winter, and I made a cut in it, and he was concerned that the water was going to get in between the two layers of the pipe, and wanted the pipe replaced, which I'll replace the pipe, no problem. So that's in the works now. I'm just waiting for another site visit from him.
Let me just ask the public if there's any questions.
Absolutely.
We'll have the public hearing. We'll start the public hearing. Does anybody have a question for Sean?
Can we see a copy of the plans?
Yep, absolutely. I have my master copy here, but I can run you. I can run it up to you. I can do your mailbox and run it up to you. I don't have
anything right now. Yeah, look at
one out right now. Yeah. Oh, you want? Okay. Yeah, you can do it.
I don't have your plan.
Okay.
Do you mind just telling your name for your...
Sure. My name is Jack Shaw. I live 219 Mott Road to the east.
Okay.
I do civil highway, heavy highway construction. I've done thousands of residents, done thousands of septic systems. I know all the requirements on it and what this is all about. What permitting is about, DEC permits, WIP stuff, all that type of things. What wetlands are. And one thing about this property to start with is it's pretty much a swamp. Most of it is wet, very wet. I'd be surprised. So for a commercial laundromat, if you will, for say 10, how many washing machines you have in there? Like 10? And then 10 residences, so it's going to be individual septic systems?
One septic system will run 5 units. So the one system has been designed.
So that would be a substantial septic system.
It's 8 laterals, 40 feet, based on the consumption of
320 for 5 residences. 320 feet. Okay, that doesn't seem...
These are tiny homes. These are tiny homes.
It's based on per bedroom. 100 gallons per day per bedroom, which would be, if you're going to have 5 occupants, you can't call that 1 bedroom per unit. You'd have to call that 2. So you're talking, 220 gallons per day per unit. So you've got over 1,000 gallons a day.
I think we're down to
150. That's obviously got to be designed by an engineer.
Right.
And all
which
this. You've got to meet all the requirements. But it's very wet. It's very high water table in there. It's virtually a swamp. Most of it is. Mike has been a great neighbor. But then a year ago, he comes to me, he bought this property, apparently subdivided it, wanted to put in one house, Airbnb for a while, build it for his kid to have a house when he gets older, whatever, and then now all of a sudden, we want to do 10, we're going to start a campground. So, I have a hard time believing what you tell me now, So, and then there's all these things you say, like, you're going to build a laundromat that's maybe approximately whatever size is here. Is there going to be spelled out dimensions of these buildings, or are we just going to change them? And then all your units, if they're going to be...
Can I just interrupt for a second and ask you, I mean, what I read in here, you're not, this is not a laundromat for the camp, it's the people who are staying there to use. This is for you to do.
Right, this is for whoever's changing linens, like the, for the manager. Right. Part,
so you're not making, it's not a laundromat that's open to the people.
No, they're not going to be using it. It's just, it would be...
Okay, well, how do we know that?
That's up to him to control.
Well, yes, I have to.
Okay, so, and then, this is very vague with, okay, so why do you want to build portable units that you move around?
Have you asked him any of these questions before tonight? Or because, in fairness to you, you haven't seen what we've seen.
Nobody's seen anything.
We got this letter a week ago. Yeah. I have a job. I work every day. A lot of times, like 12 hours a day. I worked 12 hours today. And here I am now. And I do physical work, hard work. I'm a superintendent. I have a lot of responsibilities at work. So.
I don't begrudge you for having concerns, but it's fair to say that if this was your property, you might change your mind. You might have an initial conception of what you want to do, and then you may change your mind. Is that fair?
Yes.
I think that's what's happening.
Okay, so exactly my point. So now we're going to do 5 now, but then maybe I'll do 10. And maybe I'll move them around, and maybe I'll build them this size or that size. Or
nobody has a perfect picture of what something's going to be until the process starts and it evolves.
If this does get approved, we're talking
5-year practice.
Wait. First of all, could you please address the board? And first of all, tell us who you are and where you live.
I'm Michael Strand. I live at 185 Mott Road, just to the west.
Thank you.
And I agree. I mean, I'd like to get a building permit. I have a certain amount of time to do it.
Right.
I have to have a plan. I have a certain amount of time.
And spell out dimensions.
I'm
going to
do one, and then maybe, and then maybe. And that's all I keep hearing is maybe this, maybe that. I agree with Jeff 100%. I don't...
To be very honest, I think this is a very preliminary meeting. I don't expect we're going to approve this today. I really don't. I mean, I personally, the more I read this, and I just will tell you, I think the planning board needs to review it. I think we need a site plan.
I agree.
I think we need to, make sure that there are some. There's quite a list of things that our building inspector, our building our planning coordinator, put in. Report that's things that you'd like to see, and I'd like to see too. And I think there's a lot of things that more stuff that we're going to need. So, what you're saying is it's very iffy.
Yes.
It can't be iffy, it has to be definite.
Yes.
It can't be.
And the noise thing, we have Grasshopper Gardens is across the road, it's probably 2,000 feet from our house. They're whole. Facility now, which is a dozen buildings, and with the noise, they start at 6 o'clock in the morning. There's at least 50 cars parked in that parking lot every day, and the noise we hear from them, we can hear them talking, like they have very loud conversations. We can hear them at our house 2,000 feet away. So
The
whisper thing, and then Mike's a hunter, they shoot. So lately there's all winter, it's like a gun range over there. Are we gonna have a gun range all the time? Because we hear shooting going on for hours.
Yeah.
Hours. I'm sure my neighbors will attest to that. Which I don't care, that's your property, you can shoot, but for hours we hear it. Now, so we're gonna have a campground? Are we gonna have a rifle range here for hours too?
No.
Or what?
There's nothing about a rifle.
No.
Well, we're doing it already, so it makes me wonder.
These things need to be approved, and they need to be part of the plan. And we need more specificity in this plan to begin with. And it's a good plan. I mean, he's done a lot of work putting it together, but we need more. So to answer I think your biggest concern is it going to change? Yeah, it might change, but we're not approving it until we see those changes. And within reason. I mean, we're not going to tell them exactly how to build this house or whatever. I mean, it's going to be standards. for everything, including the septic, including the well. Again, I think the planning board needs to review.
Most definitely.
And DEC has said that this is not a wetland. Right. Is that correct?
They have a letter.
And I didn't mean to. Please don't perceive it as an attack. But as the chairman said, this is kind of just a very early stage, and you didn't have the benefit of seeing the plan. But the plan is very thorough. It seems very thoughtful to me, which I appreciate as an evaluator. Having said that, I do understand your concerns certainly, but let's kind of see what. You know, this. It seems to me that we have to allow for some changes and some evolution of the plan, but nothing's going to happen until he makes a decision. And is to your point about the wetlands, right?
Okay, this may not be DEC wetlands, because I know what DEC wetlands is. That has to be a minimum of 1 acre connected. Well, actually, that drainage where you've already done work, that drainage that you want to build these by, that drainage runs right down under my driveway, connects, dumps into what used to be the Snook Hill, but it was rerouted, so that's a pond, which is tied to the Snook Hill. So that's not wetlands. Explain that to me.
I haven't been to the site.
That's not.
It runs year-round.
It's a drain, and it always
continues to drain. It runs year-round.
It was drained the same way when you bought the property, John.
I know that, but you can't tell me that's not wetlands.
It's not. That's a drain. I mean, I can see. I'm not going to.
The woods there, because I had permission before he bought it to hunt it. It's old virgin, mostly hemlock forest, and it's all like low spots, up and down, so it holds water. All these ponds.
Oh, you're talking about way in the back. This project is
75% of that property.
That's way in the back. I can point that out on the map for you, folks. It's way in the back of this proposed area. That's not where the proposed area is.
You know, as far as that goes, I mean, anything that's built is going to be inspected before it's approved to be used. And there will be drainage inspections. There will be inspections of.
But if you approve a plan that nobody has, so an engineer hasn't inspected the area,
I expect we're being asked to approve a special use permit, okay? And that's a variation from not it's not a variation. It's an approved use of this land, but it requires a review by the zoning board. But
okay, so if you approve that, and then he can make his plan.
No. What I'm saying is, I'd like to see more of a plan. And I'd also like to see the planning board look at this and approve it. Maybe not first, but somewhere. Whether we do, I mean, we could approve a special use permit contingent on this planning board's approval. We could do any number of things. But right now, I think we need to send this to the planning board. And they're going to have those engineers look at this stuff. I won't speak for them, but I think they're going to be looking at, they look much more at drainage and water use and things like that. They're much more adept at that. That's what they do. Whereas we, really look at variances and special use permits and things like that. So I feel like I'm at a loss as far as the drainage stuff.
I think part of the notes also that I had gotten back was, where are along the driveway are these drain pipes that allow for surface water to move from one side of the driveway to the other, because everywhere it gets surface water. I mean,
yeah,
you can get surface water and build stuff that's falling from the sand.
This is a high water table, okay? table where a lot of the water table is at or near the surface, within 2 feet, I would say, the majority of it, because that property is a sandy, fine sandy, silty soil over top of a clay, which is exactly what mine is.
Right, so we're...
And it's old farmland. Mine was dry enough where sometime years ago they cleared it and were able to farm it. His property over there was flatter and wetter, so it was never farmed.
So I would expect that engineers are going to be looking at this.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the entrance has flooded twice recently.
The Snowkill floods and it goes over my driveway. It's been as high as 20 inches, 2 feet over my driveway. It goes back down quickly, but it would be very close to that driveway or back into that area.
Can I suggest you folks get a hold of the plan and a copy of the plan and look it over?
I don't think the plans are anything to look at yet because I hear so many what ifs.
Right.
And I keep hearing him wanting to say it's a home. And even you said, and I know you, Justin, said that, I don't mean to upset you, but you said that people, looks like retired people are going to come back and stay there for the summer. Well, is it a home? Or is it a campground where somebody's just going to be there for a week or two and die?
I'm going to build it according to based on fire code. Like, that's how I'm going to end up building these structures. It's all going to be inspected, everything.
I mean, are they going to be self-contained? So, if it's a home, are we going to have a washer and dryer in them if they can't use the other washer and dryer? And somebody's going to stay there for an extended period.
He's not planning on selling.
Where's the bathroom?
You're not planning on selling.
You're not if I'm putting this amount of work and time into it.
What's that?
Yeah, but you never know. Your plans may change.
That is true. Some things that
But by your criteria, we could never develop any piece of property.
No, that's not my criteria. That's not my criteria.
I don't understand that.
I can go all day long.
There's work for a developer. There's a very thorough plan. We're talking about a proposal for 10 units.
That shows specific layout of houses with dimensions, this laundry facility, store, all that stuff. I want to see a specific plan on that before I'll say agree to it.
Jeff.
Which, I don't know if it's really going to matter.
There's
because you're all for it, obviously.
No.
We're not all for it.
I resent that, but there's some hostility toward the applicant. There's hostility toward the applicant that I don't appreciate. I understand you're a neighbor. But this board, my job is to look at everything fairly. There's 10 units that are proposed here. The applicant has made a very thorough and thoughtful application. It's a preliminary application. Nothing's getting approved yet. There are authorities that need to look at it, engineers. There's a lot that needs to happen. I'm not all for it. And I resent the suggestion that I am. But what I know right now is if I was the neighbor, I would go over and I'd say, hey, can I look at the plans?
I asked for plans.
I don't think anybody's going to come until we got the letter of demand.
That's fine.
So I agree with Jeff. You seem like you're all for it. And you're already put out. You were putting words in Mike's mouth, helping him out there. Yeah. I mean, I agree 100% with
what his clientele is going to be.
So Mike, if I could add, I mean, this immediate proposal, I don't think, objectively, I don't think it would affect you anyway.
Okay, wait. One at a time, please.
So I didn't approach you immediately. Rusty, I met you one day plowing, and I said, he asked me what I was doing there. I said, I'm going to put some little rental units in there, and we'll see where it goes. And I wanted to present it to you the right way. I would assume that you would show up today. I'm sorry, I assume I probably should have sat down. Jeff, I reached out to you about a week ago. I wanted to explain it to you. I didn't hear back. I texted you that please let me explain it to you before tonight.
Because you told me once you had this plan that I get a letter in the mail, it's a different plan. I'm like, well, all right, that wasn't a real plan.
Okay, let me just return to the proper protocol. You're supposed to, everybody is supposed to address the board, not each other. Okay, first of all. And I don't mind if you want to, do a little bit of that. But just so you know, I got this, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever. That's the first I've heard of it. And everything that I've heard from this board asked or told to this applicant is from here. I didn't make any of it up. It's what he said. And I'm trying to have him tell you folks what he's doing so that we all have a complete understanding of that.
Yeah. I saw some of it, though. I agree. And I was like, okay, this isn't bad. But then when you started saying over a 5-year time, and I'm a teacher and I work 5 other jobs and I'm doing this and that, who's going to maintain it? Who's going to be down there doing anything? So this is just going to be an ongoing project for
you. Would you like, I mean, do
you have to know who's managing it? Because he would only be granted certain conditions for what he puts in front of us. Would sit down, would maintain that. So if he wanted to add on to phase two, which wasn't in front of us tonight, what have you, he'd have to open this back up again.
Right.
So, and when his brother put his in 2019, we hit him with 25 restrictions.
But so we're going to do one whole meeting.
His brother is
year.
On a state road.
I understand.
Tell us who you are, please.
I am Debbie Shaw. I live at 219 Mount Road. I live next door to Mike. I'm on the east side.
Sure.
One of my concerns is now you say you're going to have quiet hours from 10 to 8. How are you going to enforce that?
So that's all part of this plan. If I receive calls saying that, hey, these people are hooting and hollering at 10:30 at night, 11:30 at night, it's my responsibility to act on that. So I have to act immediately on that. And if I'm not around to do so, I would have to hire somebody to make sure that they're my replacement. Say I go on vacation or say I'm out of town. Mm-hmm. I have to have protocol in place, which I fully plan on doing.
My general concern is, okay, so this is going to be camping, per se.
Yes.
Okay, camping, people are generally on vacation. I don't know about you, but when I'm on vacation, we're there to have a good time. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Sure.
Not quiet. Not quiet, but I don't know. You guys quiet on vacation? Anybody?
If you don't mind me chiming in, there's music. Airbnb exclusively is no parties at all.
Okay.
Platform-wide, they don't allow
Same
parties at all.
Same five, though, and they're a group of friends, okay?
So
we're going to have campfire, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and the night wears on. My husband's got to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning for work.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that your rules limit the number of visitors, is that correct?
I mean, what is the turnover going to be? Are we going to have 10 new neighbors? Potentially every week, every day. I mean, how is that?
The turnover is based on every booking, so there could be a day stay, more quick in and out. It could be 2 days, it could be 3 days, it could be a 7 day.
So it's a traffic issue too, then.
So,
for sure.
There's traffic no matter what we do.
This is like deja vu. These are all very similar concerns that I face. And I can sit here, Mike can sit here and tell you that it's not going to be a problem all day long. You're not going to believe him or I. But when I do
and
say
it very well may not be, but
right.
it's a chance.
But it could be.
The reason we live in the country is because we like the peace and quiet.
I guess
we pay a lot of money to live where we do.
And Jeff helps me numerous times when we've talked. And we've always talked to him, we've always been.
Right,
he should have bought that property. And we're not here tonight to argue who owns that property, because we know who does. But what I'm saying is I hope that I'm not being presented with, I should have bought that property. I
put a lot of money and hard work into my property, making it what it is, compared to what he used to
be. Yes, and you have that.
I'm going to tell you what through the years I've told a number of people that objected to a business or whatever of your neighbor. This is a business. You could have somebody move in there and just build
it's
a house.
It's not commercial.
Let me finish. You could have somebody come in there who just is, it's a residence. It's just somebody's private residence. And they could have kids, teenagers with 20 cars and 10 friends every night, raising hell all night long. You don't have a whole lot to say. When it's a business, you have a whole lot to say. You can get more results with the people in business if there's a problem than you can with residential. So, I mean,
to deal with grasshopper gardens? That's a business.
Yeah.
Big business.
Well, if you have a problem, you can complain. And if they're making too much noise, you can complain. And the chances are they're going to at least try.
The drainage from this property over there has caused big erosion in my property.
Okay.
I'm complaining about that. They do nothing about
it's
it.
It's really not our permit. But
because the owner, one of the owners of it, his name is John Delisle. He's on the North Island
Well, that's not even this town. I think we've talked enough about that. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Gwendolyn Strand. I live at 185 Mount Road. I didn't see what is the square footage of each little building going to be.
So that is something that I have to go back and specify. That is one of the discrepancies that were noted by the board already in my plans. So I have every intention of going back. Now, there has to be some leeway with between a 12-foot wide and a 14-foot wide trailer. Would that be a concern to you, whether a trailer is 12-foot wide or 14-foot wide and 25-foot long?
Using the word trailer really offends me, because I thought trailers were not allowed.
Mike, that word doesn't offend you, but I know you. Okay, so let's just stop using the word offend. Let's use facts here. I should have said tiny home. I should have said structure. I'm sorry. But if it's a 14 by 25 foot long tiny house building, okay, that's the footprint. Like I had said before, when I was addressing the board, if I have an opening that houses that structure of 30 by 50 to allow for a small area for a fire pit or picnic table, my footprint ultimately would be 5 30 by 50 openings. To include the septic system disturbance, or the disturbed area, to include the septic system would put me at just under 9,000 square foot of disturbed soil.
So is each little individual building going to have a bathroom and a toilet and shower?
Yes.
Are they going to have a kitchen?
Yes.
So what's going to stop you from renting them as year-round rentals? That's a permanent rental to somebody.
The approval.
Right.
We're not going to approve a year-round. This is not a subdivision.
But who?
This is not a subdivision. We would not approve a subdivision.
But who's going to monitor to make sure that people don't live there year-round as a permanent residence?
I'm definitely going to, because that's not my business plan. That's not what I intend to happen. I don't want people in there that much.
But your original plan, you told us the same as him, with the one you're going to build is going to be a full-time rental.
Yes, and I justified my reasoning as to why I changed my mind. Do you remember what that was?
I didn't hear anything until we got the letter that you were doing this. So like him, I find it hard to find you trustworthy.
No, I can restate it. I mean, I don't know where I've proven to any of you that I'm a trustworthy neighbor. Please contact me in private if that's a problem, because I hope being a good neighbor is pretty high on the standards list. But it changed because I had a surveyor who was supposed to do an original 5-acre subdivision for me up front. I was supposed to put in that single structure. My surveyor basically screwed me. He had a set of plans. I have all your points, I have your plans, I have your mylars. You're going to owe me the rest of the money before I hand it to you. I said, I've already paid you. And so we had a dispute. And that dispute was unsettled. He has my money. He has everything. And I chose not to go with him anymore. And in the meantime, we have many family discussions about business ideas. We own several other businesses together. So we're always kind of thinking along the lines of the long term. We're not thinking what's right in front of us. Let's just do this because it makes sense to make a buck and move on. What can we do for our children? So that's a big part of our household conversation. So I started kind of rethinking, why would I put and limit myself to one structure? Then I'm gonna have to subdivide again, and immediately now you have permanent residences there that I never intended to have when I bought the property. Instead, why not make a smaller situation in business, a business venture?
Well, that's the history. But, you know, that's really not relevant to what we're talking about.
Right.
The truth of the matter is, he could put a subdivision there. He could. But he's chosen not to. And he's chosen to do a business that's a short-term rentals
with neighbors,
vacation people, with him controlling.
Could be a chicken farm, too.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Could be any number of things. But the point is, we're looking at this as a campground. And I know that word, you know, it's not necessarily, it's a little bit different than your typical campground, and I personally think that's fine.
So what kind of structure, what kind of foundation will these structures end up in?
You know what? I got to tell you, I think that you need to look at the plans. It's in there. All that stuff is in there. And I think
I didn't, what little bit I did see, I didn't see any.
I will give you my copy, and I can get another copy.
I think it would be helpful
if you did have a copy.
Yeah. Well, while you still have a copy, can we look at page 26 of this plan? On page 26, you will see it says screen capture of DEC regulated wetland Q32 map.
I just want to stop you really quickly and just remind you again that this is still a preliminary plan. This is nothing here is written in stone.
Okay.
So if you're going to point out,
I understand that.
If you're a discrepancy, there may be more discrepancies in there.
He's already built the driveway through the wetland right there. You see him in the blue?
Page 26?
Yeah, page 26.
That's already been explained to DEC. I've been in communication via email with DEC, and they have issued me a letter.
His original proposed building was, if not within that dashed blue line because of DEC wetland, you got a 100-foot buffer. If it was not within that buffer, I don't know how.
It was outside that 100-foot buffer. Now I'm way outside the 100-foot buffer.
I'm not even sure.
You've already got a driveway built through it.
Can you
That was permitted.
Can you tell us what he's talking
about? Page 26, I'm over here. It's in blue.
So those are your DC wetlands.
Oh, the blue.
Yep, my proposed structure.
On your driveways, is that encroaching on that either?
Nope, the driveway comes through here, and I've given this map, actually this map, these maps right here came from DEC. They pushed them back to me along with the letter that goes along with the previous pages. So there's a letter. Appendix A has the DEC letter who analyzed these maps. They looked at it from their mapping, and I showed them exactly where the existing driveway was. They said that is outside of our jurisdiction. We do not handle that. If you alter anything else in that area, then you need to let us know and inform us. Okay. So I'm fully prepared to do that. Okay.
You know, I guess really what we're, you know, it's, I can't define what a wetland is. DEC defines that. You know, I mean, we don't, it's not up to us to define.
Well, it's just, again, you said there was no wetlands on the property.
No, there's two sets of wetlands on the whole property. There is this set of wetlands you see.
So I'm looking at page 27, this outer loop he's got going up through, that's all swamp up there.
No, that's
his future phase two.
That's high drive. That's high drive.
That's not that.
Come on.
Well, again, let me just point out that I even more reason why we need to refer this to the planning board,
right?
Because they'll walk the land, and they will see what's there.
I actually welcome the board to come out to the property. If you, I know you guys are all busy, but I welcome you to come out. I'll take it to
I would like to see it, and generally I do. I haven't, but what I would say is I would find it hard to believe that you'd want to build these structures on a wetland.
I would not.
And I'm not in favor of this, and I want the record to reflect that I don't pick and choose, and I don't appreciate anybody telling me that I'm already for this, just based on how I treat the applicant. Because I would treat you the same way, and I would treat you people the same way. And you're lucky that I sit here and do this, because it's not a lot of fun, okay?
I think, this looks like it's almost adjacent to my house. Can you tell me what that is? Because I can't read that writing.
Your house is right here. Okay. This is the proposed septic area.
That's a septic area right there along
yes.
the property.
Yes. Yeah, and it's within the setbacks of your line.
So you're
clarifying the septic.
Yeah.
The septic only has to be 10 feet from the property line.
Okay.
It is. It's going to
okay, be so this is my house. That's yes. supposed to be my house there.
Yeah, so this loop right here that. Just to say, this loop up here is actually, the, like if you look straight in through the woods there's a trail that trail, there would be back this way, out. It's actually a deeper wood line for you. Mm-hmm. This is where those controls are. That's phase two. That would be phase two.
Okay, conversation about that one if that comes to fruition.
Phase two is not even
concerned. No,
I think we've covered a lot of the concerns in the areas, and we've heard. I would encourage you folks to attend the planning board meeting because I think that's when a lot of these questions are going to be answered. And even then, at the first planning board meeting, I would expect that all your questions to be answered then either. So at this point, I just want to review. I'm not going to close the public hearing because I do want to, make it available to you folks later. If we're meeting again to make an appeal, to make the decision, I don't feel that we're ready to make a decision right now. And I do think I'm not going to go through all the recommendations from our planning department tonight. But you probably have a copy.
Yes, sir. Yes, I have everything highlighted and ready to address.
I pretty much agree with all. I don't know about the rest of the board.
Yes.
We're going to hold off on CSER, and we may want to have the planning board be designated as lead agency. I'm not really sure.
I would agree.
I'm inclined to think that the issues of CSER are more to do. There's a lot of issues. There's a lot of concerns.
It seems like a lot of the concerns that I'm hearing have to deal more with the management and the specific structures. And I'm kind of a little confused by it. I would have assumed that some of your concerns would have been more of the placement or other things. I don't know.
Right, that was one of my biggest concerns. We are so private where we are. I do not want to look out my bathroom window and see a structure. I don't want to see people. That's why I said what I do.
Right next to our driveway. Right next to our
septic system for a trip.
I do, but that, and that's a wet area right there.
It's not going to be. The test is already done.
You're going to have to build a mound at the very least. There's no way.
The engineers are going to.
Who's that engineer then? There's no way. It's not going to work.
Again, those are really site plan issues, and they have more to do with the site plan review from the plan.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit.
You would approve it without knowing that. It's feasible?
We won't. And that's why I'm talking about referring it to the planning.
Phase one. Okay. Phase one is about 450 feet.
Nowhere near. Put the check mark next to this. Nowhere near.
It's a ways. And if you look at.
And it's down lower, you can kind of see where it's cleared now?
So it's down lower than you. So.
Where the bend is in the driveway?
Yes.
Across from there?
Yep. So if you follow that drainage that Jeff's referring to, drainage back up. Those structures would be right alongside of that drainage, down. They're following the drainage on the way, because what you have is a series of natural swales. So if a site was right here where I'm standing, there's a natural swale on either side that takes rainwater away naturally, down that drainage that eventually goes to you. So, people build on this to overlook drainages all the time. Even on Chris's property, there's a beautiful drainage that goes on. It's uncanny how similar our properties are. Same idea. You're placing structures along the highest points of those drainages, and the water gets to run off. It's kind of the perfect setup if you were to see. And that's the reason why I picked those specific places.
I know what you're talking about. It is high above that drainage. That drainage. It's a stream.
And it rides up.
Just there. Your second phase move goes out through. It's all swamp out there.
Okay. I think we need to. These questions have been asked. I think you've made your points.
And they're good, valid points.
Yeah.
And I'm not an engineer, to your point. But I certainly don't want to approve something that's going to detrimentally affect your property. I don't want to do that. So please give me the benefit of the doubt. None of us want to do that.
No.
And that's why the chairman, who's has some experience on this board, is suggesting that there's a lot more that needs to be done here. And your concerns, trust me when I tell you, both families, that if nothing else happened, I was favorable to this 100%. But now, hearing your concerns, I'm less favorable to it. So please know that, and trust me.
Mike, can I have one more?
Sure.
Can you just show me, coming to this map placement where you were thinking? Because I know it's easy to say, well, 450 feet, well, that's, you know, there's a lot of land here, so. All right, so this is your current driveway that goes in?
Yes.
Okay, so where exactly is your placement plan?
Right, okay, so did you see, it's gonna lay out.
Debbie, from the road to our woodshed is 350 feet.
Worthwhile to have specific questions answered, but we need to also remember there's a process that must go through.
So that's that area that I include.
And hopefully you all get copies of these plans. So you can I know the town hall does have copies.
Yes.
All right, we need to move on, I think, because I think we, you know, personally, does everybody agree that we should refer to the plan?
Oh, pardon.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we refer this application to the planning board for the next scheduled meeting as a continuum.
A second.
Call the board, please.
Justin Barrow.
Yes.
Scott Fitzsimmons.
Yes.
Gerhardt and
yes. So we're going to make a referral, and we're going to defer the seeker until the planning board has seen it. I am quite happy to defer that seeker process to the public hearing open. I don't have a problem with discussing this right now, but we're going to continue on with our motion. We've all agreed that Mr.
I can't hear you.
You can't? Oh, okay. You know what?
Why don't you close it?
I'm not going to close the show. Once I close it, it's closed. I just don't want to. Well, I would ask you to wait
just
until after we're done, okay? Because this is not going to remain to what we're doing.
Gotcha.
So, we're going to ask you to answer all the questions from the building department, Mr. Music. And we're referring this to the planning board. So
gotcha.
We need to make a report. And I think, while this is a very complete, this is a very thorough plan. It is not a complete plan. We need a site plan. And this is not a site plan. I'm sure that the
current site plan that I did issue does have some missing parts into it. The gentleman that I had, Jeff Mancini, that I had drawing this up for me, he did the best he could with the time. He's struggling with time, and he just tried to throw in, and was like, I knew that there were going to be changes when I issued that to you.
Right.
So,
I would suggest that we table this until our next meeting. We refer to the planning board. And then we'll decide at our next meeting. The planning board, I mean, honestly, you folks need to know, we are looking at a special use permit, which is part of the zoning law, which is allowed in this district by right. It just needs to be reviewed by us. And the standards that we review it under are not drainage and all the rest of it. That's the planning board's job. We have specific standards that have to do with traffic and congestion and et cetera, et cetera. But we could possibly approve a special use permit before the planning board is done with their work. And they may want to, because they don't want to do all that work before they get approved. But our standards are not about drainage and septic and all that stuff.
Well, I think traffic, does become an issue.
Traffic is an issue, yes.
Because we already have grasshopper gardens, and especially in the morning and the afternoon, when they're in and out, and it's just steady flow of traffic.
And that's it's a safety issue.
And it's shortly after it's a blind hill where people fly, and they fly, because there's no police presence on Mott Road. There's none around.
We're on a town line, so we're last for
everything.
There
is no police presence. So how do we do a traffic study?
There's a perfect point. The location of this driveway is in a blind hill. When you come over this hill, it's in a blind spot.
That
it must
be
approved by the highway department. It's in a blind spot.
And is it fair to say the planning board is most likely going to commission a traffic study?
Yes.
Right. That will happen.
They might. They could.
They probably will. Yeah. I mean, I would think it's in light of concerns, it's fair.
One of my concerns is what is the turnover going to be? Mm-hmm. You know, is it going to be daily, weekly, weekend?
It's a legitimate concern.
All that.
This isn't a state highway. This is not 32 that we're trying to compare it to. You know, this is Mott Road that's been rebuilt over and over again because it's just not up to the heavy traffic.
Well, we had our concerns on Route 32 too.
And we have heavy traffic for farmers. We've had silage trucks nonstop for days. I'm subjected, my kids are subjected to the same exact traffic that you are.
But it is agricultural. It's a hospital, that's what we expect.
High trucks.
Well, okay, so we've basically established what I just discussed. Are there any other concerns from the board? Okay.
Is it safe to say that you can provide your neighbors?
Yes, I can give them all copies of everything.
Because when I said it's a thorough analysis, all I meant was what we were given seemed very thoughtful. It doesn't necessarily mean I was ready to say yes, but it seemed that there was some attention to detail. It was not a final site plan, but what I've seen so far was appeared to me to be thoughtful and reasonable. But believe me, again, hearing concerns is always going to change the discussion for me.
Coming into it, I was like, this isn't that bad. It's when he got there and said, well, it could be 5 years, could be 10 years. I'm working full-time, it'll be 5 years before I do this. It's like, okay, so maybe I'll do one building, maybe I'll do 10.
And if I'm in your shoes,
nothing's thorough.
I understand when you say the initial plan was for one home, and geez, now he's coming. And all I was saying is his plan's changed. But it's not a done deal.
That was two men talking. I apologize for what I'm presenting. Actually, I don't apologize for what I'm presenting today because it is my right. And it would have been your right had you owned the property as well. And I don't mean to put it to you that way, but man to man, that's the way this is.
And we're here to protect everybody's rights.
That's right.
Okay.
True.
So I would entertain a motion for us to table this. A motion that we table this. There's only three of us.
It's your turn.
And then we table this until our next meeting, and then we refer this to the planning board, and we hold off on the scene. And we leave the public hearing open. You know, I don't want to shut you out.
No.
I would say a simple site visit from anybody would alleviate a lot of concerns.
And again,
I'm sorry, say that again.
A simple site visit from anybody would alleviate a lot of concerns, especially with the line of sight view of the driveway, the blind spot that's being talked about. I'm not really sure where that is.
Drive down the right. I'm afraid I didn't get down for you. And I'd like to do that.
For sure. You're welcome anytime.
Okay. Can we just have a second on the motion?
I second that.
Discussion.
Are we able to?
We have a question.
For the future meetings, do we get notified like we did this time, or do we just watch for the agendas to come out to see if there's
any discussions? Generally, we don't notify.
We're notified at the initial meeting, and then it's verbal from that point forward.
Fourth Wednesday of the month.
Fourth, yeah.
Okay.
There's a public notice.
No, I was just going to ask something similar to this young lady was, are we able to know, and we're not going to know tonight, but are we able to know if the planning board can take up this request at their next monthly meeting? I guess is where I'm coming from.
Yeah, the submittal date hasn't happened yet, so I'll talk to Mike, hopefully, as long as we can get everything in.
By that second Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the three boards of the town meet at different intervals of the month, and there's cutoffs to have something on, you know, in time for their meeting, and so that's where I was coming from. So if they're able to hear it, they'll have suggestions and so on for us for the next meeting where we can pick up from there and go. So.
And they may need to plan one meeting. I mean, you know, I don't know. Their meetings are
Thursday. I'm sorry, sir.
When is the planning board meeting?
It's the second Wednesday?
It's
Monday.
Monday?
I think it's Monday.
I'm sorry, yeah, I had the wrong day.
I had that thing submitted to them by second Wednesday of the month.
Well, if it's a planning board, if it's going to the planning board, we'll notify the neighbors, right?
No, it wouldn't be public hearing at this point.
Okay.
So you guys sent it for advisory. The planning board will look at it. If they think any more, usually on commercial, they do schedule a public hearing. So it wouldn't be the next meeting.
Okay.
They'd have to set that.
So if there was a public hearing where you could comment, then that would be, it would be noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can always write letters so we can get it to the board as well, to the building department.
Okay, so there won't be a public hearing with the planning board?
Yes. If they decide to go beyond the advisory and look at site plan.
Yeah, if they go in, what the board is doing tonight is sending it to the planning board for an advisory opinion. If the planning board wants to go a little further into it, they would likely set a public hearing. They're not required to, but they likely would. But like I said, in the meantime, if you guys have letters, you can get that to the planning board, and you know, given that there is public concern, they would likely have a hearing.
That's what I was going to ask. What's the general criteria for a planning board?
Yeah, something that's likely a public concern.
Okay, anything else?
Yeah, Rusty Ross, I'm at 205 Mont Road. I haven't heard any concerns over liability yet. I'm right in the middle of this loop, like in a horseshoe. I'm right in the center. So I'd like to know what setbacks and stuff he has to have. Or is that if it's all in the plans? Or what kind of liability insurance he's got to have?
It's on my big map. It's on my site plan and setbacks.
Yeah.
It's on the big map. I can't read it on my small one.
Don't break my neighbor.
There is no, I mean, he's not asking for
a
very
per site.
That's the whole proposal. So that would be the whole site. Like,
all right, so in a nutshell, you're 40 off the front, 30 off the rear, 20 off either side.
Yeah, so 20 here. This is where this gentleman lives.
Yeah, but is that what it's supposed to be for? Is that be considering commercial instead of residential property?
To fit the zoning of that particular area, yes.
So 20 foot from your sideline. 40 foot from the front line, and 30 foot from the rear, which is way back.
That exceeds the setbacks, I believe. That exceeds the setbacks for this.
This should exceed the setbacks, the actual setbacks.
I mean, he's not going to be getting a variance for setbacks here.
No, mm-hmm. I'm not opposing to getting any closer, nor do I want to be close to your line. That was all taken into consideration. I do not want to be close to anybody's line. That's the way the natural ground works, Jeff. It works as
well. All right, so we've kind of covered everything. So can we pull the board, please?
All right, Justin
Farrell.
Yes.
Scott,
yes.
Simmons.
You're heard and gone. Yes. So we're going to move this to the, well, not moving. We're going to keep it, but we're going to table this till our next meeting, and we're going to refer it to the planning board for their advice. And that's where we're at, and we're more than welcome to come to our next meeting.
Thank you.
Last Wednesday of March, the fourth Wednesday. Okay. This meeting is adjourned.